Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. August 26, 2020, and thanks for listening. If you're listening on the archives, we know a lot of people do. That's the nature of podcasting. We appreciate your ears attuned to what we're talking about today. And today we're going to talk about measuring student engagement during remote learning. All right, we can do this also not remote learning, all right, because the company I'm going to talk to, good friends of ours at Catch On, okay, can create this data and find out what's going on with apps, et cetera. In remote learning, it's even more important to understand exactly what's going on. They are a data-driven company. They can help you become a data-driven school district. Good folks, they got Leo Brehm and Monica Coogan, both of whom have been on before to talk about what they're learning from the data, how things are going with school districts, et cetera, how school districts are using Catch On, et cetera. This is a worthwhile program, well worth listening to, and I hope you listen to the whole thing besides the fact they were completely, speaking of engagement, engaging. Okay, you'll enjoy it. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, put a schedule up there every Saturday for the following week. And we got all kinds of stuff over there. You can check that out. Or you can go back all the way to 2011, like a little Education Talk Radio time machine, listen to old shows. And amazingly, people do that all the time. I'm always astounded at that. And please go over, join our Equity Consortium. Please, please, please join our Equity Consortium. It's for you. It's free to educators. It's at ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org. That's kind of an acronym. The American Consortium for Equity in Education, ACE-ED.org. We want your voice heard over there. We want you to be involved as we go after equity. Boy, the pandemic laid bare the bones on that. We're doing everything we can to correct the situation, as are you, but we want solutions, and that's what we're going to be providing over there, ACE-ED.org. Without further ado, let me bring on Leo and Monica. And Monica, are you there? Ladies first.
Hi. I am. Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm fine, as a matter of fact. You doing okay these days in crazy times, USA?
Yes, I am. I'm surviving.
Yeah, it's just wild. Are you down? Where are you? Down in Nashville? Where are you?
Yes, just south of Nashville in Franklin. Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And what's going on with schools down there? Do you know?
Well, you know, everybody is in multiple transitions in. You know, some schools are transitioning in from, you know, bringing their younger students in and bringing the rest in. Others are virtual. Others are have gone in full and are, you know, scaling back a little bit. It varies throughout the state, but everybody's trying to adjust. And in many cases, there are choices, obviously, for students to either do fully in school, a combination of blended learning days, or hybrid learning, or all virtual. Similar across
kids,
the United States, I'm sure, but that's what we're
school?
Seeing.
Yeah, do you have kids
I do not, but I have a husband who drives a bus for one of the local school districts.
Get out
so.
Of here. Wow,
yeah.
Pretty cool. Okay, there
yeah.
you go. Well, have they cut? Have they opened more bus routes? What are they doing with the buses? That's a good question.
Well, obviously, one of the things they're doing is less students on the buses. So,
yes,
they, you know, they're doing more than one trip with their students to keep them separated, keeping siblings together, and then, you know, separating others out. So, yes, it doesn't change the amount. It's just a longer time in the morning getting everybody together into school.
Yep, and we'll see if everything they're trying to do. I hope it does. Nobody knows what they're doing. Don't feel bad if it doesn't work. There's a million other options. Leo, good morning. How are you, sir?
How you doing, Larry? Long time.
I'm good. A little chilly up here in New England today, wouldn't you say?
It is. I think it's a breath of fresh air because, I don't know, I'm getting a little tired of the mugginess.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, boy, the mugginess has changed. You'll like this, Monica. It was 40 degrees here in Maine, maybe 38 when I woke up this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was cold.
Wow.
Yeah, it's still pretty chilly out. Yeah, it's still pretty sunny day, beautiful day, but a little breezy and still chilly out. Leo, which town are you in Massachusetts? Are you in Newton?
Medfield.
Medfield. Okay, what's going
Medfield.
On with you? Yeah, and can you tell us, that's south of Boston, everybody, southwest. Can you tell us what's going on with schools there? Do you know?
Yeah, so, Larry, I'm lucky enough to serve on the school committee there as well. So,
oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
I'm getting first-hand information on what we're doing. So we're going.
Yeah.
lots of parents complaints,
right? Good man. So
yeah.
What's the word?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going hybrid, Larry. Speak
into your mic. We're losing you a little bit. Speak right back into your mic.
Sorry.
Or into your phone. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, we're going hybrid, Larry, and that's just the only way we can do it. I'll look at this. Is this better?
It is better. And you said you're going hybrid. And what does that mean? Kids will come in a couple of days a week. What's happening?
Yeah. So we've got So the kids will come in on Monday. The kids who start with last names to start with between A and K will come in
okay.
Monday and
there
Tuesday.
You go.
Yeah, and then the others will come in Thursday, Friday, and then on those off days they'll be virtual. Hopefully being headed up by another educator. I'm not sure if you've heard, Larry, but I'm a little astounded by the number of places who think they're going to put a camera in the classroom and call that remote learning and have the teacher be in the classroom on a camera.
Yeah. I say this every show. Nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's trying their best. All right. Educators, from superintendents to classroom teachers to everybody on the faculty staff, reach behind you, pat yourself on the back. You're doing the best you can. Okay, this is day one, year one. Okay, and just do the best you can. Nothing's going to work, and everything's going to work. Okay, so we'll see what happens. Leo, when do the kids come back?
So we're going back to 16th.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we're going back to 16th right now. Of September, at least right now. I just heard that Wellesley Public Schools is going to be going remote for two more weeks, so they're going to be remote until October 1st. So I literally got a text message about that just before I hopped on with you.
So remember, they don't know what they're doing either. Just don't worry about that. We'll see what happens. Yeah, better know. Right.
We're all first-year teachers again, Larry.
Somebody told me this morning on a show, he's in this superintendent over in Dundee, Michigan. It's a BC and AD, before COVID and after disease. Okay, we have no idea what's going on. We'll see what happens. Okay, and we're all trying. I mean, everybody's trying something different, and we'll see what works. And none of it will work, and all of it will work. It's that simple. But this is interesting. Oh, and actually, I'll swing back over to Monica. Monica, tell us about Catch On. I know you work for Education Networks of America. Catch On's a subsidiary, I guess you would call it that. I love the company. Okay, tell everybody what Catch On does, because this is a really cool product. If all things were normal, this is a really cool product. It's even more cool these days. Talk about it. Tell everybody what it is. Catch On.
Sure.
Everybody,
sure.
Monica Coogan. Yeah, go ahead, Monica.
Hey. So Catch On is an expansive data analytics tool that really lets you monitor what's happening with your students, both at school or remote learning. It's tracking on school devices what students are engaged in, looking at what kind of applications, websites they go to, tracking their engagement activity and how long they're on there. It's also telling them whether they've connected to their devices. So it really gives a visibility, a window into the data analytics of your students and their engagement levels and what they're doing in their classes and their assignments. And Larry, what's really powerful about this, I just want to share a little data that we encountered. While schools are going back now, we're just beginning to see what happens across the platform. But in the early days of the pandemic back in April through June, what we really saw was you could see, because Catch On was able to track that, we could see across our districts that initially, the first couple of weeks of the pandemic, engagement dropped across the board, as schools were trying to figure out how do we reconnect our students, how do we get them on devices, how do we get them back into learning. And while there were some significant drops overall, as we know, because students may not have had access to devices or the ability to do that, we started to see students as March and April lingered on, those that were connecting, we really were able to see and catch on that they were jumping in to more engagements with their applications and uses. Mm. And in particular, what was interesting to watch as those patterns came out was the access, obviously, to collaborative software, like some of the Zooms and the WebExes and things to get students connected, as well as productivity tools for teachers who were jumping on on to manage and set up lessons, and then even seeing where students were accessing their curriculum. So we started to sort of see some of those rise with the students that were engaged. You know, obviously, and you speak to equity all the time, we could see that a number of students didn't jump on.
I was just going to ask you.
We saw about a 70% drop across that with the pandemic. And, you know, we don't know specifically why, but you could guess, Larry, there's times when students couldn't be connected. They didn't have a device at home. You know, they weren't sure.
Enough broadband, or they were sharing one device with six kids at home. Who knows?
A number of reasons. But those that were engaged, we really saw patterns of engagement.
Isn't that interesting?
You know, with certain applications. And a lot more learning throughout the day. So that graph of when you come in the morning and, you know, you have the big uptick throughout the day, what we really saw was some extended learning going on into the evenings. You know, likely students were taking breaks, but
that's
then
good.
Working with their parents. So that's the kind of things that KetOn can track. And as schools are planning this school year and now they have students connected on their devices, they really have that opportunity to get that visibility into what it looks like at home and the shift, you know, when they're either in school or out of school, because it tracks at both levels.
Catch on, everybody. KetOn.com. Okay? I'm telling you, more important than ever. All right, these days, were you able, Monica, to break down even further? For example, were rural districts in worse shape than urban districts or suburban districts or however the case may be? Were you able to break down the data even further? And again, don't give names of districts or whatever, but just generically under broad categories, were you able to break it down a little bit better or deeper?
In our general data that we pulled, we didn't look at that, but I'll let Leo speak little bit to what can and cannot be accessed along those lines.
Leo, what's the rubric?
Categories,
yeah.
So, in the data today, we do break down by subgroups and whatnot within the platform for the districts. We didn't pull that data, you know, in aggregate, for our global reporting. However, you know, we did see some significant things across, you know, anecdotally as we were working with districts throughout the pandemic and up until today. You know, we saw an average of 30% to 40% drop off, particularly at the high school level of engagement in the springtime. The terms being used, Larry, are, you know, really bad, like kids falling through the cracks, lost, things in education that we hate to hear. We saw the worst of it in the springtime. And I think, you know, like you said, I think everybody is doing the best they can to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And I'll say that those numbers were agnostic to location. It was everything from, rural Massachusetts to, inner city Midwest. We saw very similar numbers in that drop-off.
Isn't that interesting?
I mean, Larry, we today, you know, we used to weigh so much on attendance, right? If the kids show up in the building, you know, you're going to be able to try to, you know, get at that student. Well, take that model and throw it right out the window today, right? That thing's gone. Attendance will not mean time on learning anymore, ever again, probably, because we don't, you know, even though it wasn't an accurate enough counting of student engagement, we kind of need to really start looking at our value, you know, taking real data off of the technology we use today and apply that to learning and engagement, right? And to really start getting to students in that personal level. And you can't do that without the data.
And I think what you're saying is
how to look at it.
Yeah, what you're saying is it's not seat time that matters anymore. Okay, if I can use that term. Okay, we have to look at a whole different valuation of attendance. I believe attendance, in quotes, I'm doing air quotes, okay? That word maybe should be changed. It should just be engagement, okay, as opposed to attendance. I mean, as one good thing. And Leo, let me ask you this, because I know your product, and it's a great product, and do your clients, school districts, how many school districts do you work with at KetOn? Do you know
what? I think we're north about 125 or so.
It's a lot. Okay, so you got that's good data. All right. So which actually 125 is about what is that? Well, it's 1% is 12,500 or so districts. It's odd that number. So that's aggressive.
Oh, there
we go. Yeah, it's interesting. All right. So do the school districts you work with, and I know how hard you guys work, do they understand and are they using the power of the catch-on product, the power of the data that is given to them from catch-on? Because we can have the product, you know, but we got to be able to use it. And this data is – This is how Jeff Bezos became rich and Zuckerberg. They sell data. Okay? That's you guys. You should be multi gazillionaires. Lil and Jenna should have the Lil and Jenna Air Force. Okay, their own private jets. For you too. Well, you should have access to them. I'll talk to them about that, Monica and Leo. Okay? But it's data that matters. So seriously, so do the school districts understand the power of what you're giving them? Did you talk to them?
Yeah, I mean, we monitor the usage of our dashboard, of course, right? Just to track activity, and we do a lot of engagement time. When you sign up a catch-on, we assign you a customer success manager who already plans out throughout the school year periodic data check-ins with you to unpack what's happening in your school district and help you come up with action items as a result of it. Now, since COVID. Yeah, this is definitely – you saw it hockey stick upward, you know, the use of the dashboard. People were going every single day to see what's happening. Like, give me an idea of what's happening in my school district. It was like, I can't walk the halls anymore, right? If I'm a superintendent or I'm a principal, I can't walk down the halls and get a sense of what's happening in my school anymore. I have to find a new way to do that, right? And so that's where catch-on comes in. You know, we were often initially, Larry, when you know, Jenna and I first started working on catch-on some years ago, we were more of a return on investment approach and with a focus on learning as much as possible. But today, you know, we're bridging that gap between, you know, what's compliance and how we're going to actually engage learning in a better way. So. And that's what our mission is, and we're going to continue to do that moving forward.
And I hate to say this because the pandemic stinks, okay? It just stinks, okay? But it also is an opportunity, okay? And we got to look at it now that we're stuck in it, like make lemons, you know, they give you lemons, make lemonade, okay? We got to look and see, and you said it a minute ago, if we look at attendance and engagement differently, okay, it opens up a whole new door. And we're sort of, you know, like
couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's
you're gonna see permanent hybrid programs in schools moving forward.
Oh,
you're gonna see new permanent hybrid programs, 100%.
I agree with you.
This is gonna open up young kids. This is gonna empower learning in kids more than we know. You know, it's gonna allow them to follow their passions if we do it right, while still, you know, leaping forward in learning. So
Larry,
I'm very excited about the future.
Yes.
Larry and Leo, I want to add one thing just to your question about districts, which I think has been interesting to see, and you know, Leo maybe add more to this, but when you ask about how the districts are looking at this, what's been very interesting to see, we just did a session a week ago with a team, so we're really beginning to see the administrative team, which includes your instructional technology team, your technology team, your curriculum folks, and the administration all working together to use the data to give a broader lens of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, versus looking at one classroom at a time, now that you're remote, it's been really interesting to watch those administrative teams come together to define engagement and really talk about what are all the things we need to look at, what, you know, Leo talked about meeting with our folks to look at what their data is, but it's been fascinating to me to watch the conversations across the administrative team to think about defining engagement, redefining attendance, and think about what are the statistics they have to show learning is happening.
Right, and you know, we're forgetting, but catch-on was created long before the pandemic was even thought about, long before that, years ago, okay? And but I'm going to take a little bit of an issue with what Leo said. You know, The schools may have changed, but the original point of Catch On was to provide data as to the apps, the engagement within apps and all that sort of thing, all the software that the school is using for learning, okay, for education. It still does that, okay? So I just want to make the point, no matter which way you're going here, if you got remote learning or if you got hybrid learning or if you're fully back in school, Catch On's going to give you, okay, data you need to make sure, if I may do your sales pitch for you, it's going to give you the data you need to make sure you're buying product that are being used by educators and by the students. How was that, Monica? Was that good? Am I right?
That was great, Larry.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll accept
you're
any
hired,
job
Larry.
Offer. Thank you. Thank you, Leo. Yeah. I'll accept the job offer. There's no problem whatsoever. But the, my point being, there was well, this takes on a whole different importance during remote.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But again, most papers are hybrid. This has great stuff, okay, if you're not remote. I just want to make that point. All right?
Right.
Because every school district is strapped for money. Like Monica's, they all of a sudden have to pay the bus drivers, God bless your husband, three times as much for doing three times the work. Okay? That's fair. They might have to hire and get new buses. Okay? And that's just one aspect of this. They may have to do five runs, not one. Okay? So they need money. All right? And if they can see where the money they spent on technology is working and not working, okay, that brings money into the budget. You know what's working, et cetera. And that's really the basis. What's working, what's not working, where's the data behind it, not anecdotal. All right? It's that simple. That's what you guys do. Am I right, Leo?
100%. Yep. That's 100% what we do.
Yeah. It's incredible. And I want to ask you this because your product's so timely. This is kind of a sales question, but I'm curious myself. All right? As I deal with so many companies I work with and all the school districts I work with, a lot of the superintendents, and I can't say I blame them, you know what's going on, they're busy. Don't bother me, okay? Don't try to sell me anything for my district because I got enough aggravation just with what I got right now trying to deal with it. But there's an old cartoon that used to circulate among salespeople. It shows a king in medieval times, and he's sitting in his tent, okay? And he says, I don't have the time. He's in a battle. I don't have the time to see some damn salesperson. And in back of his tent, this is medieval times, is a guy who has invented a machine gun, okay? It's that simple. And when the right product is there, everybody has to make time for it. Okay, because these are different times, and this moves the needle forward. And I'm just curious, as your sales team, and I know you guys aren't particularly the salespeople, but are people seeing how important this is now? Okay, that's my question. I'm a sales guy. Are they seeing how important this is, or you're the guys with the machine gun in the medieval times? Okay, are they seeing it?
Larry,
and Leo, I'll ask you. Okay, because the superintendent has to understand they got to see people. I understand their position. They got to see people. You may speak now, Leo. I'm done. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're 100% on, Larry. I got to say that, and Monica can attest to this too, our team has been busier the last 5 months than ever before for, you know, obvious reasons. And, you know, many members of our team are former educators and feel a passion to make sure that we're there to help be a solution and not a hindrance. So we're definitely not opportunists in this. We've definitely accelerated our development to reflect the needs that need to happen as well. I would say that obviously, yes, people are waking up after they tackle the initial problems like, am I going to have enough PPE? How can I space the desks? Can I have spray guns to disinfect things, you know, every 10 minutes? can I buy Chromebooks in the black market from somebody because they're all sold out everywhere?
Yeah.
Right. After they tackle those problems, now they're saying, OK, now how are we going to know? How are we going to know what's happening? And, you know, they're trying to, you know, manage LMSs and find some content I've had more content, more conversations about content, Larry, than ever in my career, right? And you know where I've worked in the past too, you know, very content heavy places. And none of them are prepared for this. None of them have been prepared. And so, they're trying to figure out how to get a good view of all the tools that are out there. There's great solutions for content out there. But in order to get a complete package K-12, you need about, 15 different products. And how are you gonna track the use of those products?
That's right.
And that's where we come in, and they're definitely seeing the need for that. And we're excited to be a part of it. We know there's going to be a lot of work ahead. It's going to be an extremely busy time for everybody, including the ed tech industry right now. And CatchOn is a part of that. We are absolutely seeing that. We're not being that pushy sales folks either. We're there when people are ready to talk with us, and our team is ready to help deploy the product and get it up and running as soon as it's as soon as possible for folks, because a lot of people are starting to head back already, so they're already using our data.
And again, I want to mention it's catchon.com, everybody. Catchon.com. Catchon being one word. I want to swing back to something you heard me introduce the show that's near and dear to me, okay, and that's equity. All right, and equity challenges, et cetera. And we were talking about this a little bit earlier with urban versus rural versus suburban, levels of engagement, et cetera. And, Monica, I'll throw this to you because it is a strategic initiative, so to speak. I know ENA and CatchOn stand for this, but can you put – and this will help as superintendents. Can you put the CatchOn product into an equity context for everybody so they understand – the real value of this beyond just the obvious?
Absolutely, Larry. I think the number one thing that superintendents or any educator wants is the opportunity for their students to be engaged in learning, and to have access to the tools that they need. And one of the things that CatchOn does is it's going to allow districts to see if their students are connecting. So you mentioned earlier that some students share multiple devices. Even with CatchOn, in some of the, if they're sharing a device, students are able to log in through, for example, their Google portal. And with their login, we'd be able to track, who logged in, when, and what's their time. So when you talk about equity, sometimes it has taken school districts 2 to 3 weeks to find their students. When they weren't connected,
That's remote.
So, if they're using a device and they're using CatchOn, they're going to find out if they're connecting to that device. And, some of our new and exciting things are going to happen in the fall are really going to show that at the student level, whether they've connected. That's one thing. And the other that's equity is, our students have various modalities of learning. And, they'll be able to see, are our students getting the time that they need on a particular task? So if I'm assigning some things for virtual learning, CatchOn allows them to monitor that.
Let me just say, in the way they need it, okay?
Right.
Because as apps and other curriculum comes in, each one is different. One may be visual, one may be more manipulative, et cetera. Okay, and we got to know what student works best with which one. That's so wow, is that important? I interrupted. I'm the host. I could do
no,
that.
No, no, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
you can anytime you want. But yeah, and that's where the power is. Like I'm going to be able to look at my students and see I assigned these, but did the student stay in one app longer than another? And is there a reason for that? So it really starts to get at the equity issues of connectivity. Are we connected? Do we know where that student is? And do we know what they're doing? And do they need help? Is there a need for us to reach out to them? So, yes, I believe CatchOn helps a lot in that area.
It does. And actually, you bring up a very good point. Just knowing the data, okay, we have to have a way to find it, CatchOn. Okay, that's key for everybody. Now once we get the data, what do we do with it? And that's part two. Okay, and you can't do the part two without part one. Okay, it's climbing a ladder. You can't get to the top without using the rungs in the middle. Okay, you got to get up there, and it's so. You just put it into a nice perspective. It's really incredible. I was talking to a teacher, I think, in Boston, and the Boston Public Schools, and he agreed to take Chromebooks and deliver them around the neighborhood of his school, which he does not live in, that neighborhood. And he went to his kids' houses with a, you know, a pile of Chromebooks. And, you know, he'd knock on the door, and where little Jimmy lives, they'd open the door, and there were literally three families with nine kids, okay, who were in one apartment. And they all lived there. It wasn't like they were all visiting, happily visiting during the pandemic. That's where they lived. Okay? And suddenly he started to realize how hard it is for kids to get online. Okay? There's not enough broadband to support nine kids, okay, in this apartment. And multiply that times a million and you get the problems, okay, that we have. It's just absolute, the challenges, I should say, that we must overcome, okay, in order to do it. And I'll tell you, you guys really provide an incredible product that's heartfelt, I might add, because I know the folks who invented it, Leo, okay, and Jenna and all that. And, you know, it's just amazing, okay, how important this is more and more now. So thank you both, Monica and Leo. I think we've done it all.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the one last thing, too, is that Catch On does, we do a good job of pulling out when they engage. When we talk about that equity, just like you just said, that timetable, there's probably older siblings that are looking after younger siblings. And so we saw an array of engagement times that was very interesting, and we're seeing that grow. So, you know, we know that that's happening, and we give that lens. You know, when those kids are falling through the cracks, right, or they're going to need extra help, people, just like you said, people are not going to realize what the help really is to be that's needed. But if you're going to have the data, you're going to be able to ask the right questions. Right? You'll see what times of the day people are getting in. And then that means the guidance counselor, the teacher, can say, hey, what's happening at home? Do you need extra help? Do you need tutoring for your brother or sister? So those, you know, that kind of insight is what drives those better questions so that, you know, you get to the root of the problem. I mean, there's a lot of pride involved in education, and educators have to be able to have those conversations. They want to, and they want to be there to help those students succeed. So thank you for your time.
And what's really good is now we have the tools like Catch On. It used to be all anecdotal. Now we actually have the tools. And the pandemic, as nuts as it is forcing us to use it in this manner, which actually works to the good. All right, so we'll see what happens. It's unbelievable. You guys are terrific. Just keep up the good work. Keep smiling. And Leo, thanks for being on your school committee. That is a big deal. It is a big deal.
I'll miss you at Maskew this year, Larry. I look forward to catching up face-to-face at some point soon.
I hope so. I know Carolyn is all, you know, she's my wife. She works at Maskew, too, with the vendors committee. And it's just wild out there. And if you want, and then what I would do, can I make a suggestion, Monica, for your husband who drives the school bus now more than ever? I would suggest at least a standing order of 7 gallons of Maalox per week from Amazon.
Okay. I'll tell him that.
Yeah, driving a school bus, God bless them, is so hard anyway. You're not only driving, you're dealing with these lunatics in the back, okay? And, boy, to do it even more, it's incredible. So I appreciate his sacrifice. Maalox, that's all I can tell you. Okay.
Yeah, you seem like a back of the bus kind of guy, Larry. You were back.
I'm the one throwing the spit. I am the one throwing the spitballs. What can I do? I won't get into that. Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Take care.
Stay safe, please, both of you. Okay. Bye bye. Right. Leo Brehm and Monica Coogan from Catch On, catchon.com. If you don't know that company, know it. Okay. This is such important stuff. And all these products are out there, and look at the way they can be used now beyond what they were ever planned for God's sakes. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it at EduTalkRadio. Please join our consortium, ace-ed.org. You'll love it when you do. We want your membership free to educators. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.